Welcome to the Virtual Velo Podcast, powered by the Zamunique. We are passionate about cycling and immersed in the virtual cycling community. I'm Chris Schwanker, a freelance cycling journalist, here to lend a voice to the digital athlete and bridge the gap between athlete and avatar. Take a conversational ride with us.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode 30 of the Virtual Velo Podcast. Yep, it's me, Cy Bradley, back as your host for what is going to be, I think, a fast-paced and jam-packed show. As it seems to be the case right now in this fast-paced world of cycling esports, things are changing. Things are progressing quickly at the moment for what I believe, and we both believe, hopefully, is for the good. However, before we get onto all the nice, new, juicy tech and developments, a quick reminder to everyone that this podcast and our previous 29 shows are available via all good podcast platforms, including Apple and Spotify, but also, of course, direct over on the Zamunique website, which is your central source for all things cycling esports, including latest news, rider interviews, insights, all across virtual cycling platforms. And don't forget to subscribe if you've not done so already. It really helps the show out. And why not leave us a review? As again, this really helps the show out, and we would really appreciate that. As we appreciate all of our listeners, and I can say it's amazing to see the listeners have grown, not physically grown, but our listenership has grown, should I say, over the last few months. So I guess, and I hope, we're doing something right. So thank you on behalf of myself and Chris. Now, let's get going with the show and get the man with all the contacts, Chris Schwanker, into the show. Chris, how are you doing today, sir? This is going to be a jam-packed show, right?
I think it is, Si, and nothing says this season on Zwift, the Racers Edition, like the very first Si Bradley ZRL Recon, right? Like, I've been doing a lot of racing, but I haven't done any racing since the ZRL Finals of last season, believe it or not. You know, we're recording this on a Monday, and the first race is tomorrow. So I was thinking it would be a really fun feature if, you know, you're the recon guy, you tell me where to attack tomorrow and I'll attack. And then when we get back together, we can talk about how it went. What do you think? Where should I go? Where should jammers be looking for you to go? How about that?
Yeah, well, I think this show is good. Yeah, let's not talk about jammers. I'm a bit concerned because, yeah, you know, I checked the riders, the elite riders in my category, in my league this morning. And yeah. Daniel Jamrosic Jammers is in there with the rest of the hitters from Restart and a few other teams as well, which I'm definitely concerned about. So it's definitely a change for me at that end of the category, should I say, as I've moved from B to A. But yeah, you know what? I mean, this is going out the day after the ZRL, so I can say. But for me, I've said this to our elite girls. This is the first time we've had an elite girls team going out this season as well, which is fantastic. But what I've said to them is, you've got the two climbs, right? You've got the Castle Climb, and then you've got the Breakaway Brae. But for me, once you go down the other side of the Breakaway Brae, cross the lock there, and it starts to drag up again, that's where I'd be putting in the attack. Everyone's going to be expecting it on those first two climbs. So let them spend the matches, burn the matches. You sit into the wheels and follow, and then that's where I'd be going on that long drag. If you've got it, push on there. Don't go solo. Make sure you've got a few riders with you. But I think with PD 4.1 and that drag up there, that is the place to make the break and reduce the pack size for me. Is that enough?
All right. I'm going to do it. You know, what the heck? We'll see what happens.
For me, it's going to be about hanging on for grim death, I think, Chris, personally.
Yeah, well, that's always my expectation. And then I try to exceed that expectation. We'll see. Hopefully we have good news.
All right. Well, Chris, let's get on with the show. I know you, as always, you have the inside track on these things. And I know that you also attended this season on Zwift press conference recently. So can you give us a quick overview of maybe what was discussed there?
The this season on Zwift press conference, they have a couple of them usually during the season. I think the last one was back in April. This one was the end of August. It was a couple of weeks ago. And the first thing I want to say is that I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity. I'm honored to sit there, you know, next to all these cycling journalists. I've been reading their stuff forever. It's a really cool thing. But it also gets me a lot of access to what's going on, and kind of, you know, it's one of the few times during the season where I'm actually able to, you know, hear directly from the Zwift representatives. And like, you know, we're kind of on the outside looking in, so we can make a lot of opinions and speculate about them, but when you actually hear them speaking and you actually hear the excitement that they have for the work that they're doing, it kind of puts it all in a different perspective. And there's a lot of interesting and very engaging different events and different innovations that are coming. I always sit there and I'm just waiting for the racing stuff to come. I'm kind of like, you know, well, I'm paying attention, but not like I am when I hear the competition word mentioned. And I must say that there's some pretty interesting things going on the competition side of things with Zwift. And I think that a lot of people listening to this podcast are going to be surprised by the things that were said.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are certainly in that position where our main interest is the cycling esports side of things, of course. So, yeah, go on then, give us some information. I mean, the races edition, you know, give us some stats. You know, what sort of stats have you gathered on, and what's happening with racing? What have the developments been like in this last couple of months?
So I was really excited to hear about a number of things that were said. And Mark Cote, who is the head of content, was giving the statistics for the growth of racing. We've heard that, you know, the Zwift is not competition focused and not esports, they're not racing focused. Only 10 to 20% of their users actually race. And that number has increased significantly. They estimate that their year over year increase has been 10 to 20% monthly in the competitive users. Wow, pretty big difference. That's like, yeah, that's a 50% increase. They estimate that during their peak months, each race averages 360 athletes. There are 500 promoters on the platform that organize 1,200 races each week, which is pretty amazing. And the other statistic that I thought was really, really significant is that there are 2,000 registered teams for this season of ZRL, which is already a record.
Yeah, and this time they seem to have bought it a month earlier as well. So to have that many teams in September, you know, let's be honest, you know, many people are still racing if they're racing and riding outside. You know, you know, we've had a bit of a heat wave over recently. That seems to form. But what I will say is, you know, credit to Zwift here that I do think the calendar has improved. So, you know, to hear those numbers about, you know, 300 odd plus riders or athletes per event, I think that's because you could see that both the community and, you know, their Z Racing series has really helped to refine the racing calendar, you know, and it's not like it used to be where, you know, there was two crits every hour and you'd get in there and there'd be 10 riders. So, yeah, really cool. And I think, you know, you've seen that with the quality events.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we can't, you know, not mention, you know, Martin Carew over at WTRL also. You know, they do a ton of great work over there. The ZRL is wildly popular for a number of different reasons, and they do a great job with what they do. I agree with you. The density of the race calendar, and there are more people on the platform that realize the training benefit of racing in addition to the competitive side of it. And I think that Zwift is starting to really understand that and embrace it, which is really great to hear.
Did Mark give you any feedback on terms of the resources then and looking at maybe the credibility and the racing experience and what might we see changing there?
Well, there's always a Q&A after these things. And I know that they wanted all the questions to be about all the different features and innovations and events. Sure. But of course, all of my questions about racing, right? So I asked him that question. I asked if there are, you know, if with this growth, does that mean that they're going to be allocating more resources? Are they going to have an increased focus on racing? Are we going to see more dynamic racing, more engaging racing? Are we going to see more steps towards authenticity and performance verification? So I'm going to read to you what Mark said to me. He actually answered a number of questions, but we'll start from the beginning. In response to that question, he said, "We've built a dedicated content team focused on competition over the past year. The primary goal is to strengthen community elements through significant resource allocation." He actually used the words, "We are doubling down on racing." And then he went on to say, "We're significantly ramping up our internal efforts. We're increasing our investment and focusing on racing at all levels, from elite to community. We have seen some exciting developments planned for the second half of the year, including a new Zwift Championship and supporting features."
All right, Zwift Championships. Is what I want to know is, we all know, right, they lost the world championship bid to Mai Wuxi this time. In your view, based on, you know, what you got out of Mark and the rest of the team from that conference, is this a reaction from that, or was this in the pipeline anyway?
You know, that's a really great question. You know, the first thing that's really significant about that statement is that I know that when the new management team came on, that basically racing was kind of up in the air. Were they actually going to embrace racing? Were they going to feel that it was worthy of allocating resources? Were they going to get behind racing? That was really kind of a up in the air. Well, I think this is really reassuring on that front. And I know that a lot of the Zwift employees and a lot of the guys in the race team that really were passionate about racing, I think that they were kind of, you know, waiting to see how that was going to play out also. And from what Mark has said, they are supporting racing wholeheartedly. The second thing is, as far as the Zwift Championship, what I was led to believe by listening to the answers to the questions, and there's going to be another comment that I'm going to read later that speaks to this also, is that they had a pool of money that was allocated to go towards hosting the Esports World Championship. I think that pool of money now is going to go to this Zwift Championship. From what I've heard, it seems like it could potentially be a pretty awesome event.
Yeah, you know what? Since our last couple of podcasts, and we've obviously, you know, in the last podcast we spoke about the MyWish bid and that successful bid and what, you know, what that might mean for Zwift Racing. But I think I said to you the other night when I spoke, I'm actually more positive now about Zwift Racing and where that might go than I ever have before. And I know we've used this term, a rising tide raises all ships, but it is bringing investment into the sport. Zwift are the number one in that space. And for me, right, you know, I've been back on the platform racing indoors in this last couple of weeks, preparing for ZRL. You know, I love PD 4.1 from a racing perspective. So I don't know, it, you know, just being on the platform again, getting involved with the community, hearing some of the things that you've been talking about that came out of this press conference, you know, I've kind of questioning now whether, if I look at other esports out there, and I'm thinking of like League of Legends, Apex, you know, all these other games that have their own championships without necessarily having a governing body, you know, that heads that up, you know, like the UCI from our point of view. And I just, I don't know, I think I questioned before whether I thought the Zwift championships would be meaningful, but I actually, given the users we've got, given how good the platform is, you know, in terms of its usability and how it's improved, but also the community aspect, I think it is going to be meaningful. And I think it's going to have a status, you know, and aside of what happens with MyWoosh and the UCI, for me, whoever, you know, whatever the Zwift Championship looks like, whoever wins that, you know, whatever, you know, the athlete might be to take that victory, for me would still be hopefully a really momentous, you know, great accolade to have at the end of a season.
I agree with you in some respects. If it's the grand event that we think it potentially could be, if it involves several live events, remote events in different places throughout the world that can be viewed by the public in real life, if it's these athletes that we've grown to know, we know a lot of their backstories, then being the Zwift champion will certainly have its prestige. It'll never be the World Championships. It'll never have the level of prestige of the World Championship. It'll never have the level of credibility that the World Championships has, unless they, you know, take the real significant steps for it to be that way.
No, I do. It's not going to be the rainbow jersey, that's for sure. But I tell you, you know, you mentioned something there. What I would like to see, whoever picks it up, and I hope Zwift do pick it up, is, you know, again, I was at Scotland for the previous UCI live event. I want to see live events. I want to be able to attend live championship events, you know, at some point. So I hope that is something that Zwift are listening to and pick up on and we see happening, whether it be this season or next year in 2024 at some point, you know, then I think that is something we do need. And that will tick a lot of those boxes in terms of the credibility as well.
So I didn't stop there with the questions. I went on to say, are you willing to give a statement about the Esports World Championships? You know, you've been pretty tight-lipped about this. I haven't seen a single response about it. And I dropped the message in the Q&A, and I initially got a, we're not going to answer that now. We're going to focus on the issues. But, you know, to that credit, Mark took the question after a little while, and this is what he said when I asked him about the Esports World Championships. We put in the bid for the UCI Esports World Championships, and we've been building the event with the UCI for many years. Yes, we're bummed that we weren't selected. At the same time, we're also pretty excited that the maturity of the sport has gotten to the point where there is additional investment and hunger for multiple platforms to compete. We think the bedrock of racing is the community for us, and that is where our focus has been and will continue to be. We are forging forward to evolve what competition looks like on Zwift. The Zwift Championship is going to be pretty rad. We're extremely excited about our elite and community racing calendar and the general health of the sport. There's a lot of investment and interest now. It's much different from when this all began, and we're excited about that. So again, you know, I think the major theme that came out a lot during this press conference when it involved racing was community. We're going to start with the community and build up. We're going to utilize the community as a way to, as a testing grounds, a proving grounds for these things. It's obvious that our community is embracing racing, and we want to double down on that. I also think that it, in some ways, is a very calculated response to the model that MyWish is using, which
is basically the top-down versus the bottom-up approach, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think that that's a coincidence that's the tone that's being set there. When you really think about it, that is Zwift's special sauce, is this the community, is this the social aspect. They have a huge head start in that respect, and it's pretty obvious, and it's pretty special. I'm, you know, immersed in the community, and I may do a lot of racing on other platforms, and I may consider myself multi-platform, but I do go to Zwift to do my social ride that I meet up with the guys once a week, and I am pretty heavily involved in dirt, and I'm heavily involved in the Dirt Dad Fund, which is built out of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great to get an update on that actually at the end of the show. But you're right. I mean, that is Zwift's strength, you know, that is that community. And I don't think you feel it any more than you do right now in the build up to the biggest team event in cycling esports world, which is ZRL right now. So in terms of racing then, it's great to hear that that's going to be the focus, because, you know, we've said before, the more people get into racing, I think, you know, they've also mentioned it, that racers also tend to stick around longer as well. You know, and we spoke about that before. How can we get people racing? Because if we get them racing, there tends to be less churn, you know, and I think I've heard that from certain members of the cycling esports world before as well. All right, so in terms of features then, Chris, when we look at cycling esports on Zwift, what sort of features were launched and mentioned then as part of this press conference?
The major thing that's going to be changing, and we should see around November, is that they're going to be going to that Zwift racing score. I don't know if you remember, at the end of last season, everybody got a number besides their Zwift power ranking or whatever. And it was like, my number was 600 and your number was like 900.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was, right? Like it was that. Like a soft launch of something, yeah. We had to guess what it was.
Yeah, well, we had a pretty good idea. So anyway, that's going to be used as a new categorization system. And basically, from what I understand, is it's kind of like a results-based, like ELO ranking, like you have in chess, or like they have on IndieVelo, which has also a power-based component. So it's kind of like a proprietary algorithm that they created, and they came up with this number. And I think that it's really appropriate for us to kind of give a shout out to Tim Hansen and his Zwift Racing app, because it kind of seems it's built off of that. And I don't know, like I'm just speculating, because I know that that's a very similar system, and people have been calling for that for a really long time.
It's like some of the best things that we see out of Zwift, you know, Zwift Power being one of those as well, historically, that comes out of the community. So I think that's fine. You know, I think Tim has done a great job with that Zwift racing app, and some of the best racing series out there, you know, the dirt racing series, have been using that system to develop that as well. So, okay, so we're going to see an ELO, but with some power-based components too. So does that mean they're going to be scrapping the ABCDE categories?
So basically, from what I understand, is that they're going to have these results-based, skilled-based, power-based Zwift racing score. It's going to update after every race. It's going to, you know, it's going to reflect who you raced against and how well you did. That's going to be like one facet of the categorization system. They're going to keep the traditional. So there are going to be some races that use the Zwift racing score. There are going to be some that use the traditional A through D. There are going to be some that are ranked and some that are unranked. And as of now, Zwift Power isn't going anywhere, because there are a lot of people that rely on it. As far as I know, everything's going to be staying the same, except for they're going to be integrating in the Zwift racing score for some events.
Yeah. So we'll talk about ELO, because people might not know what ELO. So that's going to be based on your skill and your finishing position versus other people around you in that particular race, plus the power data, essentially. Zwift Power is a great tool, Chris, and I do agree. You know, a lot of people are on it. The problem is it's another obstacle to onboarding, because it's another platform you have to register. You know, and I mentioned Zwift Racing App is a great system that Tim's developed, but it's another separate system you have to log into or register with, like you do WTRL. For me, if Zwift are working towards the point where it's you just register on one place, but you've got access to all these great tools without having Zwift Power registration, WTRL registration, Zwift Racing App registration, all these things. If we just centralize that to one or a minimal number, that'd be fantastic. So that sounds pretty good.
Whatever can make things easier for racing is a great thing in my book, absolutely. And you know, whatever we can do to move towards advancing the sport and legitimizing the sport also something that's very significant as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, talking of partners, Chris, I obviously read your article where you highlighted IndyVelo as the independent commissioner for the Zwift Grand Prix, for example. So is this something that you see as a step to legitimize the sport?
Yeah, I definitely do. And having independent verification is the way that all sports should be. Right. It just eliminates any thoughts of conflict of interest or impropriety. Moving performance verification of governments to an independent entity decreases any influence. And, you know, let's face it, cheating scandals are a headache for Zwift.
Yeah.
You know, they'd rather not have any cheating scandals. They'd rather not have any attention drawn to any cheating. You or I, who's racing on the platform, or a fan that's watching, you know, can say, you know, what real motivation do they have to catch the cheaters? Right. So they have this this ZADA, the governing body for the sport, but it's underneath the Zwift umbrella. So there's always that kind of
It's a grayness to it, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. So the former head of ZADA, Bjorn Ostenbrink, and the former chairman of the esports division, Dr. George Gilbert, they moved off and they formed IndyVelo. So they're going to be the independent performance verification and governance body for the Zwift Grand Prix going forward. It's significant because it's outside of Zwift. They don't have any influences, you know, whether there were or not, whether having a cheating scandal was enough of an issue that marketing would get involved. You know, I'm not going to say that ever actually happened, but it could have, right? It's something that the potential was there. So having this independent will eliminate that, but it's not exact. It's not like a lot has changed.
No, well, yeah, you've got the same people. The same two people heading it up, right? So, yeah, other than the fact that, you know, it sits there, I guess, the contracted as IndyVelo, what is going to change? I'm assuming they've got access to the same data they had before. I don't know what data they had access to. But does that mean, are Zwift sharing more data, less data? You know, how's this working?
You know, I didn't write this in my article because I didn't want to take away from the message, because I really think it's a huge step forward to have independent performance verification and governance.
Agreed.
But there are a lot of obstacles here. The one obstacle about the access to data is a big thing, very much less than ideal. The data that's available from the Zwift API is not as robust as the data that would be available from IndyVelo per se. They don't have as many data points to evaluate. The API is not as, it's not easy to access for George and for Bjorn. They're not able to get the data in real time. And I know we've spoken about how they say that they're committed to allocating resources, but it's my understanding that there's only enough resources being allocated to performance verification for them to verify only a very small percentage of the athletes. Not every single athlete is getting verified.
Okay. But every athlete's still got to go through the ZADA, or what was the ZADA testing, whether that's going to be called the independent commissioner's test or whatever it might be called nowadays. But I guess every athlete's still got to go through that, but potentially not all finishing athletes in the Zwift Grand Prix or every competitor is going to be tested. Top 10, top 5, something like that, right? I guess.
Absolutely the case. And they're not getting the data until after the race. They're not getting it during the race. They're not able to assess it while it's going on.
Right.
I know that the folks over there have their own software. They have the ability to evaluate large numbers of athletes automatically in a very short period of time. But that takes resources, and that hasn't been allocated to the performance verification side of the elite racing at Zwift.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, that's one of the questions for me, because I know, you know, we've interviewed Dr. George Gilbert already a couple of times on this show, and, you know, he states that they want to become a service provider for the industry, for the sport, if you like. For me, there's still the question mark of, you know, are they a competitor? Can they be truly independent as a service provider there from that point of view? But, you know, I just come back to a comment you made right at the start there, because it's still buzzing around my head. But has anything changed? Because are Zwift still going and want to highlight any athletes that failed that, you know, or any cheats or whatever is still a question mark for me. So I wonder how much has really changed. If they can access a limited amount of data, that also, again, question mark over there.
The difference is that IndyVelo have marketed themselves, they've framed themselves, they've characterized themselves as a service provider for other platforms. They want to be a supporting, mutual beneficial supporter of all the different platforms. So they have a motivation to be really good at their job. Otherwise, they would never get any other job, the most straightforward way of saying it. You know, they have to be good at what they do. Otherwise, none of the other platforms are going to contract with them. So they have to be motivated to do this. The other thing that's significant to note is that this contract with Zwift isn't exclusive. So, you know, it leaves the door open for them to form partnerships with MyWoosh, for instance. Big question to me is the Esports World Championships has to be verified by an independent entity, right? It can't be what Zwift had been doing for all those years. That can't go on. Like, we have to get better. Can MyWoosh be can they verify their own athletes now, right? It's kind of like if the Tour de France took all the blood samples from all the riders and they decided to say, you know what, we're going to test them all ourselves. And we'll let you know how it goes, you know? Maybe the guy who won the Tour de France has been wearing the yellow jersey for 2 weeks. You know, I assume he's probably okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wonder who's commissioning that service. You know, would that be MyWoosh commissioning that service, or would that be the UCI commissioning that service of the verification and validation of the athletes? You know, like they do with WADA. I think it's the UCI who commissioned those services for the IRL racing. Right, not MyWoosh. So would the UCI then appoint a third party organization to do the verification? And then would, you know, again, you've asked the question, what access are MyWoosh going to give to IndieVelo or whoever was doing that verification?
Yeah, well, there certainly would have to be cooperation from the UCI. But, you know, I think that these are all really great questions, and I'd love to get into this in great depth. And I think we're going to have Bjorn and George on the podcast. So we'll hold this conversation off for then so we can get it from the expert.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, just to summarize that point then, I guess, you know, for me, it's a good thing that they've separated it out, because I think it was always a question mark over me, the fact that Zarda had Zwift in the name and it was, you know, it was funded partially, I guess, in some way there, you know, always raised the question mark over me. So the fact that it's independent, fantastic. Well, let's see how that partnership progresses moving forward. Talking of partnerships, or non-partnerships, if I could put it that way, Zwift and Wahoo, they've settled their lawsuit, Chris. I'm not sure why. I know you've seen this recently, but this is also, for me, quite a big story. And I think we've got to cover this. So let me just summarize. Why did they fall out in the first place? Were they ever friends? Question mark. But, you know, obviously there's this been lawsuit has been there for some time. So just in a quick summary, Zwift Hub was launched, right? September 2022. Wahoo filed a patent infringement suit a month later. Actually, that was Wahoo and I think it was Jet Black also. And Jet Black, if I remember rightly, they sort of settled with Wahoo pretty quickly, but Zwift and Wahoo decided to fight on a little bit longer. However, recently, as recently as September the 5th, the lawsuit has been dismissed. So it looks like that Zwift and Wahoo are friends again. So what's changed, Chris?
It seems like they want to play nice, right? But it seems like the things that have changed only changed in one direction. So They've agreed to have an amicable settlement and a renewed approach to collaboration. And like I wanted to mention right off the top that this isn't my reporting. This isn't your reporting. This is from Rainmaker over at DC Rainmaker. He does a great job and did a great job with this report. So all of this information is taken from his article on the topic. So Wahoo has granted Zwift a limited license to use its patents. You know, you can use our IP, and we're not going to come after you for it. Zwift is going to continue to sell their own hardware as they did prior. They're also going to start selling Wahoo products, certain Wahoo hardware items on Zwift.com.
On Zwift.com, yeah.
Everything is going to be sold with a subscription to Zwift, a one-year subscription to Zwift. In addition, Wahoo is going to be bundling 1 year of Zwift with some of their products, giving their customers the option to bundle a year of Zwift at a reduced price with their products on WahooFitness.com. So yeah, it seems like there are a lot of terms here, but they all seem to be only going one way. You know, I can't see how this is anything but a big win for Zwift and for the consumer. You kind of seems like you're getting a lot more for your money here, but it does kind of like opens up the door for a significant number of questions.
Well, one of those questions, yeah, I mean, it seems very one-sided to me that, and like I say, a big win there, but. You know, I'm a big fan of Zwift, but I'm also a big fan of Wahoo and their products. But it does leave that question. RGT, because let's not forget that's there. I know we've not discussed it recently, but it's there. It's had some very good events on there in the last few years. But where does that leave RGT?
Well, before we get to the RGT thing, because I have a lot of things to say about RGT, but I want to talk about Wahoo is moving forward. And they're going to be coming out with two new products. So I want to just get these out here so that people will know some more offerings on the range. And then we can move on to the whole RGT talk.
All right, let's talk about the new hardware because, this is exciting. And I say I'm a fan.
They have two new, pretty big pieces of hardware coming out. The first is what they're calling the Kicker Move. And I'm just going to read what they sent to me in the press release. Delivering the closest real-world smart trainer ride feel, this all-new premium addition to the Wahoo range has the addition of 8 inches of fore aft movement added to the trainer body. This delivers an entirely new dimension of ride feel. This built-in dual-axis movement creates a sensation remarkably similar to that of cycling outdoors. So basically, it's like a kicker, but it's on wheels and it's on a curved track, and it kind of goes back and forward, so fore and aft. So like when you get out of the saddle, it kind of moves backwards, and then when you power down in the saddle, it kind of moves forwards, and it kind of readjusts to your riding positions.
Right, so, but it's just forward and back, so... It's basically like a V6, but built on to and you say it only moves backwards and forwards.
No, there's no sideways
movement or...
Right, yeah, and it's kind of like on a curved axis. So if you have a kicker climb, they have like another attachment so that it works with the kicker climb. It's all integrated. So that's pretty cool. It's like...
Yeah, of course.
It's like, I think that one of the arguments with the rocker plates is that you can't really sprint because it's weird. This is kind of like it doesn't have the side-to-side movement. All right, so they're offering that at a price point of $1,599.99 in the US. So that's the first thing. And I know that the second thing I know you're going to be really excited about because I have a kicker bike and I know that you've been eyeing up my kicker bike. Yeah. But it is a really cool thing. I must say, I love my kicker bike. So anyway, they're coming out with a kicker bike light. Now, that's not what it's called, but it's called the Kicker Bike Shift. And what they say here is that they're looking to create an indoor smart bike with a lower price point. The Kicker Bike Shift offers the unmatched ride feel of the kicker bike and retains key features like Reality Shift, True Fit, real ride feel, and Wi-Fi. And they're basically saying they just want to open up the category to more people who want these bikes, but at a lower price point. So, it doesn't exactly come out and say what the bike doesn't have in the way of quality, but they're saying that it's at a lesser price point. So they're selling those for $2,999.99, same in euros, and $26.99.99 in British pounds. So, it's not like they're out of business over there. They're moving forward. They're doing things.
Yeah, they've obviously been developing, and so I've just immediately I've been eyeing up one of these kicker bikes for some time now, and that sounds like almost over £1,000 cheaper than the one previously. So I'm already thinking, what are we missing there? But I think you mentioned the reality shift or the virtual shifting, however you want to call it. So. Yeah, that's one then. That'd be interesting. And that was launched today, I believe, or tomorrow, right?
Yeah, actually, that's going to be launched tomorrow, the same day as ZRL. So you'll be hearing it probably before you hear about this, but you can say that you heard it here first. No, you don't have to. So, so Wahoo is moving forward, but one way that they're not moving forward is in support of their virtual cycling platform, RGT. From what I understand, the support has been a challenge, and it's kind of gotten to the point where, All of these press releases, all of these articles about the settlement, the amicable agreement that Zwift and Wahoo have made, not a single thing was mentioned about RGT. And then when you couple that with the fact that we're not only not going to mention RGT, but we're going to sell the industry-leading platform subscription with our products. Wow. But we have the same product to offer to you. Our product is free, but still, it doesn't really sit well with me. And if I was a member of that community, it really wouldn't sit well with me either, because I feel really bad for them, because it seems like they're going to be left at the altar for the second time.
I have to say that, I follow those forums and those Facebook pages of the RGT community, and they've got a great group of event organizers as well. I know a couple of those event organizers have been trying out other platforms recently, But it is a really great community. And, you know, it's a unique style of racing on RGT. But I have to say, Chris, the feeling on, based on what you've just said and those statements, it feels like the writing might be on the wall. Like you say, a hardware manufacturer who also has a platform, then giving away, essentially, a year's free access to the biggest competitor and the biggest player in that space. That feels like the answer is already there, but in plain sight in a way to me. So I guess there's no announcements, but it, you know, for me, you've got to read between the lines. All the answers are there, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think that it works for them because their system users can use it. It integrates well with that. So the fact that they're not going to be putting more resources into it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be going away. It's just not going to be staying up with the competition.
Yeah.
Right. There are some really high profile organizers that are jumping ship and others that have mentioned to me that it's a sinking ship. We're not the only ones that have said that things are not going the way that we had hoped that they would over at RGT.
No. But, you know, I like the community. I like the event organizers. But for me, you've got the best hardware manufacturer out there, I believe, in my eyes, with Wahoo, with, you know, the best virtual cycling platform. For me, that would be an absolute marriage in heaven. If somehow in my dream world of virtual cycling and cycling esports that could happen, then that would be good. So my fingers are crossed, but we'll see what happens. But I guess there was, so that's Wahoo, plenty of things announced. We've spoke about cycling esports and it's great to get those questions answered that I undoubtedly you asked multiple times via that press conference. But I know there was other things announced on that because we've seen a few things announced this morning from Zwift. So how about we run through? I know it's not racing, Chris, and there's some gamification in there. But why don't we go through a rapid fire of the other things that were announced on this season on Zwift?
So you want to go through the what was 90% of the press conference? Is that what you're saying that you want to go through?
Well, for me and you, we know that the 10% was just you getting the UCI World Cycling questions in there and tell us about Zwift Grand Prix. Tell us what's going to happen with the racing community. But let's do the Zwift part and there's some nice things. I like a bit of gamification. There's some nice new things coming, I think. And one thing that I mentioned before, when we did speak about MyWish, that I think I told you I really love their calendar. And I've already scanned down this list of one of the things that's going to appear. So I'm hoping this is a step towards one of those aspects from a competitor that Zwift are going to look at. So yeah, come on, let's do it. Let's go through this. So first of all, Chris, I'm going to start. It's the expansion of Watopia. We've not seen an expansion of Watopia for some time. I don't know how long it is, but it feels like a while because we've had the developments of the other worlds. But I can see that this Watopia Southern Coast expansion. Tell us a bit more.
So basically, from what I can tell, it connects the Fuego Flats to the Mayan jungle. So there are going to be 8 new routes, 150K of new road. I'm pretty sure that that's the number. And I saw the pictures look stunning. Like you have to, they're really great at what they do is on the development side. I like when they opened up Gnocchio, it was just with all the bright lights and all the,
the visuals. Awesome.
All the fish flying around and everything like that. It was, really, really visual, aesthetically pleasing. And this really looks the same way. I the pictures look really great. And
you are getting excited by non-racing things.
Well, it's like, when I'm racing, I don't even think that I see what's going on. But when I'm, just like tooling around, I do look at the scenery. And Watopia is everyone's favorite world, right? It was the first. All the guys that started from the very beginning. That's all that we knew in the beginning. It has a special place in my heart, I must say.
A lot of the beta members always talk about. I think it was the hilly route, wasn't it? That was the first route there, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, that was the only thing. So,
but yeah, no, it's great to see. And just thinking that from a recon point of view, and just nerdily there, that's going to give us some quicker access to some of the key climbs. As well, once you get into the jungle side, so that could be quite interesting. It could be some interesting events.
Yep. So then the next thing is the climb portals, and I know a lot of people is kind of like people can take them or leave them, but a lot of people have been using them from the statistics that they gave. So they're going to have
be honest, Chris. I watched a lot of videos and the visuals kind of put me off a little bit, but I've not used it yet, but I will.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about the visuals because I don't want to contradict myself, but I haven't used it either, and it's not for that reason. But they are coming out with some cool things with the climb portals. There's going to be a monthly time trial competition, so you'll be able to see what you stack up against other people.
Oh, cool. On the climbs.
Yep. And the next feature that they're going to be introducing, I think, is a really cool thing because it does make the climb portals a bit more inclusive. You know, let's just face it, some of them are too hard for people. You know, the climbs are hard. You know, that's why they're in the climb portal, right? So they're going to have like a sliding scale for them. So you'll be able to choose whether you want it to be 50% as challenging, 75% as challenging, or the full gradient. So that way you'll be able to meter your effort and be able to get up this thing.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? You mentioned competition. So now you've mentioned competition on the climb portals. I'm all about it. It sounds fantastic because hopefully you know that the UK is big into the hill climb scene, right? I mean, Ed Laverick, mm-hmm. He's very popular on Zwift, got a great YouTube following as well, and you know, just gets out there and streams his ride. He was the national hill climb champion a number of occasions. I know he's going for it this year, so I'm going to call Ed Laverick out for a virtual hill climb championships this time around. I don't want to get involved. I just want to stream it, Ed. But this could just be for Ed, I think.
Well, if he shows up, then I'm going to stay home. How's that sound? All right. So then they're also running back of a couple of the events that they like to do. They're going to have the Pretzel Fest, so you can get your Lederhosen sai in case you don't have that already. Tour of Watopia.
Either, no.
Yeah, that's a good thing. The Tour of Watopia.
I love that one.
They're going to integrate some of the new routes into that. That's going to be cool. And something that, you know, I always enjoy the Zwift Academy.
Yeah, absolutely. Both good.
Yeah, so there are some things in training. So they're going to be offering training plans through the companion app. And I know you have some thoughts about that. So why don't you lay them on us?
Yeah, I mean, the training plans, I like the training plans. I like, just coming back there, Zwift Academy, I think, is great. Anyone who wants to start to get into something a bit more structured, I think the Zwift Academy is a great place to start there. Giving better access in terms of planning ahead, because training plans or exactly that, the plans, planning ahead, making sure you can access those, has always been a bit of a tricky one for me with Zwift because it's not been in the companion app. It's not been easy to access. So the fact that they're going to integrate these plans into the companion is a big step forward. But I would like to see this calendar, this diary that I could write. You know, it is one of the features, maybe the only feature so far with my experience with MyWish, that I really do enjoy, is just being able to open up this monthly calendar and see the events and the training in there. And if Zwift can make that happen via the companion app, then for me, that would be mega.
So if Zwift was to cease existence tomorrow, a major part of their legacy would be the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift, right? They've basically made huge inroads to equalizing gender in cycling through the Tour de France avec Zwift. So I was actually kind of really interested in this next feature that they're going to introduce. They're going to have a women's specific training club, and it's going to be coached by none other than Olympic gold medalist Kristen Armstrong. There's going to be a number of training plans that are, I guess, group rides, group training, that are going to be led by Kristen Armstrong, and they're going to be devoted strictly to female athletes. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing. You know, that's, they're just, you know, continuing that commitment there.
Undoubtedly, you know, the Tour of Zwift is, if, you know, no one can question what Zwift have done in terms of the development of women's cycling, both virtually and in real life. So, yeah, the fact that that's continuing, and you know, the Zwift Academy, you know, making it, you know, with the male and the female athletes, is another great example of how they've done that over the last couple of years. So that, again, feels like a fantastic expansion, and great that they're continuing to invest in women-specific training and racing there. So, you know, because we've had also the, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but the Women's Zwift Racing League that's been going on during the summer as well. So that's also been fantastic. All right, and the final thing then, Chris, the additional of gamification. And again, I know we're not about competition, but this also, I did note, there's an added level of competition in the gamification. So it's not just now about riding Repack Rush on your own, hitting the little speed bumps and slowing you down, but actually you and I could get onto Repack Rush and race, I think, side by side down Repack Rush and set some fastest times. Not only that, Chris, it's coming to Crit City as well. And I've seen some of the footage there already of some of the Zwift team going around Crit City. And although I know I wasn't too excited about it when they very first launched this gamification aspect with the Zwift plays, but you know I've got my Zwift plays sat here right next to me. I think I'm quite excited by that, weirdly. You know, watching some of the races take place with the Zwift team there with Crit City hitting these, I think it can make for some really fantastic, fun, short format racing. What do you think? I can't tell from your facial expression.
Well, what I'm thinking is that let me know how it goes. No, what I'm really thinking is that maybe like if we're racing, I could have that turned on for me, and then you don't have it turned on for you.
No, I've seen some of the speed boosts. That's not going to work.
No, I think that would be a perfect way to do it. Why don't we do it that way?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's level us up, but you're the one with more ZRL helmets in your virtual garage than me. So I think we're already level, and you should be stepping up to race against Jammers in ZRL with me this season anyway.
If my form continues, I may have no choice, and in which case I would embrace that. Yeah, so that's the this season on Zwift, the Racers Edition, Si.
No, it's absolutely amazing. You know, I know I said this on the previous podcast, Chris, but there seems to be... Well, we already said last week, there's so much going on in the industry and in the sport right now. You know, we've had so much to talk about. And even on this show alone, you know, it's sort of opened the door for a number of other shows, I think, to dive a little bit deeper into some of those topics. But I know we've got a number of already great shows lined up with some coaches and athletes over the next couple of weeks anyway. But I know that you wanted to talk about the Dirt Dad Fund and some of the work that you've been doing there. So do you want to give us an update on that?
Yeah, so kind of like just building on the theme of community, you know, that the word community was probably mentioned in the press conference a dozen, maybe two dozen times. Like that was the prevailing theme. And Zwift does a great job with community. And, you know, I've mentioned the Dirt Dad Fund, and we just completed a campaign where we were taking donations for a scholarship, and we awarded our first, the Dirt Effect Dirt Dad Fund scholarship to the son of one of our members, who happens to be a really great kid. His name is JT Withers. He's going to be going to Georgia. He wants to study pre-med and become a radiologist. And because he wants to be able to diagnose and help people, and he wants to get into the research end, and he wants to do some things that are going to save people's lives. And through the generosity of the community and what we have here, we were able to make his funding for college, make it a little bit easier for his dad, who's a dirt dad, and for him to get going. So, you know, it's the generosity that they're coming together, that it's really impactful. And it kind of just, you know, that's what community is all about, right? And, you know, it also, we're going to be having for our very next episode a pretty prominent member of the community. So I don't know if you want to introduce that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm excited about this one. We're going to have none other than KK herself, right? Kristen Kulchinski and her coach. And I mentioned this again, but we've seen some phenomenal in real life rides from Kristen. And in fact, recently, did I not see a result on one of the mountains in your part of the world in the last week as well? She set some records up there, I think.
Yeah, I think that's where we should end this and pick it up next time.
Yep, so thanks, Chris. Yeah, the next show will be with Josh Lipka and Kristen Kulchinski, of course, so keep an eye out for that. Go over and subscribe over on The Zamunike, which is your central source for all things cycling esports. And we'll see you next time for another Virtual Velo podcast.
I'd like to thank you for the privilege of your time and for helping to bridge the gap between athlete and avatar.